Lucas Wainwright, head of the security services, telephoned next morning to ask if I'd made any progress with investigating the racehorse syndicates. I had to confess I'd lost all the notes I made on the suspicious characters Eddie Keith had let in. I didn't tell him I'd dropped them when Trevor Deansgate's bully boys had clobbered me. Somewhat narked, Lucas summoned me to the presence to remake them. I remembered his promise of help as payment for my efforts. I knew what I wanted now, and before I set off, I wrote it down on a piece of paper with literally trembling fingers. With metaphorically trembling fingers, I handed it to him.
You haven't done the job yet, of course. Let's have a look. I should be able to manage that.
Only one thing. Please don't mention my name to anyone. You might just get me killed or ruined like Mason.
All right. I'll write the letter for you as from the Jockey Club, and I'll try not to get you killed. Will that do?
It will indeed.
Sid, don't drag it out.
Eh? I'll go to Tunbridge Wells tomorrow afternoon.
Good man. Bye, then.
Bye.
Hello, Miss Sid.
Ah, Eddie Keith.
Ah, made you jump.
No, I wasn't expecting you.
What are you up to? Big brown envelopes and things?
Oh, nothing much.
You'll have all us snoopers out of work soon, from what I hear.
Not a chance.
Yeah. Well, don't step on our toes, Sid.
Never, Eddie.
Take care.
Yeah, I will.
That's it.
Is that the Hot Air Balloon Company? The name's Sid Halley, private investigator. I'm trying to trace a Mr. John Viking. I believe he might be involved with ballooning, and I wondered if you'd heard of him. You have? Is it what, sorry? A madman? Oh, I see, yeah, takes risks. Yeah. Now, could you tell me how I could get in touch with him? Mm-hmm. Yep. Balloon race on Monday. Where did you say? Higher Lane Park, Wiltshire. Yeah. May Day, of course, part of the celebrations. Yeah. Well, no. Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah. Cheers. Hey, did you know it's May Day holiday on Monday, Chico?
They're running a judo tournament for the little bladers, aren't they?
Yeah. Now, shall we eat those out of the paper or be civilised?
Yeah, out of the paper. Here. Look, they're up. You've come back to life again, I see. So, which one of our three pressing problems are we going to tackle first? Horse nobbling the syndicates of the fraud case?
The syndicates. Start this afternoon.
Sure. You're definitely going on then. With all of them. Sorry to keep asking.
Let's get the syndicates done first, then you can ask me again.
Where do we start?
Tunbridge Wells.
Oh, it is posh for you. Why Tunbridge Wells?
Because a certain Peter Ramillies lives there. Mm. Lucas told me that Ramillies instigated all four of the doubtful syndicates, but he was careful not to leave his own name lying around.
What's he like, this Ramillies?
Oh, I met him myself, but I've heard of him. He's a farmer who's made a packet out of crooked horse deals. The Jockey Club won't have him as a registered owner, and most racecourses don't let him through the gates. He'll try to bribe anyone, from the senior steward to scrubbers, and as he can't bribe, he threatens. Two jockeys and a trainer lost their licenses for taking his bribes.
Oh, sounds cuddly. Yeah,
but what we're trying to find out is not whether Peter Ramillies is manipulating four racehorse syndicates, which he is, but whether Eddie Keith knows it and is keeping quiet.
Are we likely to get beaten up this time?
A guy called Mason, who did this investigation before me, was reduced to a cabbage.
Now he tells me. So how do we avoid that?
Ask different questions.
How's that for a bit of map reading? One farmhouse for the Casey dog.
Well, it's distinctive. It doesn't seem to belong in Tunbridge Wells. Mm. Can't see anyone around. Come on, out.
Hello, what's this? A little bleeder in distress.
Hey, mister. Didn't you bring the ambulance? I had it a long time ago.
Well, what's happened, son?
It's Mum. She's lying in the barn and won't wake up.
Well, where's your dad?
He's out.
What's your name?
Mark.
Right, show us where she is, Mark.
There she is, Sid.
It could be worse. She's taken a fall. Can you nip up to the house and ring the hospital again?
Yeah, we'll do it.
How did she fall, Mark?
Bingo started bucking. Philip, and I think he kicked her head.
Yeah, is that Bingo?
Yes. Will Mum be all right?
Oh, yeah, Mark, don't worry. Hey, you're a brave little lad.
We better catch the horses. Dad'll be bloody angry.
Is he often bloody... very angry, your dad?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's round him up then, shall we? Come on.
I caught the horses one by one and tied them up. Mark watched with admiration and evinced curiosity about my left arm. But I couldn't have known that my expertise and the impression it and my false limb made on Mark would lead the new Sid Halley into the kind of danger he had come to dread. The ambulance came in due course. Mark had forgotten to give his address. I'd already persuaded Chico to take him in the car to the hospital when I did a survey of the Ramillies home. By the time Chico got back alone, I had seen all I needed to see. I joined him in the car and we got the hell out.
Did you ever see a farm without animals, except for horses?
No, you mention it, no.
Incredibly tidy house, but inhuman. I went through everything. Records, incredibly conscientious and examination proof. Not what you'd expect of a horse dealer.
But are they the real ones?
Yeah, that's what I wondered. Probably somewhere outside in a biscuit tin hole in the ground.
What else?
Oh, expensive and showy wardrobe, unnecessarily so, if you see what I mean.
Crooked by nature, this revelation, then.
Yeah, precisely.
And now for the big question that trembles on my lips. Did you find any link with Eddie Keefe?
None at all.
Wasted journey, then.
Oh, lucky for Mark, at least.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. Good little bleeder. He told me he was going to be a furniture man when he grows up. Seems he's moved house already 3 times that he can remember.
Your assurance, I'll find you somehow and blow your right hand away.
No!
Hello. Hello, Sid Halley. Who is it?
Next day, Monday, I drove in the morning to Higher Lane Park for the May Day Jamboree. An impressive crowd of people was pouring into the showground. I paid at the gate in my turn and bumped over some grass to park the car obediently in a row in the roped-off parking area. Other cars followed neatly alongside.
Is this the main son?
Yes.
Hello, Mark.
Hello.
Hey, how's your mum?
Told Dad about you coming to the house.
Ah, did you know, yeah. So, you're Peter Ramillies.
And you're Sid Halley. The boy described you. That hand and the way you could handle horses. Why did you go poking your nose around my place?
Hey, you were out.
Yeah, and you were left all alone.
We waited outside your house, and then we followed you all the way here. Dad says we'll take you to see those roundabouts. We'll have friends take you for a ride in our car.
Friends?
Here they are.
Get into the car, Halley. Back to pronto like hell. Get after him.
Well, don't let him get into the crowd. Don't just stand there, run.
I plunged deeper into the show, circling the ring, bumping into children as I looked over my shoulder, and seeing the two renter thugs always behind me. Perhaps the very two who had destroyed Mason. I reminded myself what I'd come here for in the first place, a different problem. Somehow my criminal cases were getting intertwined. I was playing a dual role, the prey and the hunter. I'd have to get lost and stay lost until I'd hunted down John Viking. Someone told me the balloon race began at 3, and I spent the intervening time ducking and weaving. Then, just before 0 hour, I felt the hot breath of the hounds on my neck. I looked round desperately for a bolt hole.
Tell your fortune, dear.
No. What? How long does it take?
Quarter of an hour, dear. The whole thing, past and future.
Can you do me just a future?
Come inside. Ah. Sit down, dear. Usually I work on the left hand, but it'll have to be the right in your case. Hold the crystal ball for me, dear. Now, let me see. You're a kind, gentle person. People smile at you wherever you go.
Yeah, there's a couple of smilers out there right now, somewhere.
I can see them.
Hey?
They're not friends of yours.
No, acquaintances. Carry on, please.
I see many people cheering you and clapping.
No, that's the past.
No, it's still there. You have great physical stamina, but there is much to endure.
Well, what, for God's sake?
Oh, I can't tell you any more. Mm. No. Those men have moved away now. They looked very worried.
They did. Look, I have to go now.
Oh, come on, you just started.
I want to see the balloon race.
Very well, dear. It's not far. You'll make it easily.
There.
Oh, thank you, love. Take care.
No one could have missed the balloons now. Gaudy, monstrous mushrooms spread over a large grassy area beyond the actual showground. I'd thought vaguely that there might be as many as 6 balloons, but there must have been 20. I managed to dodge my way among them, but I underestimated my task. I had put my question several times before I got a helpful or even polite answer.
John Viking? That bloody idiot! Yes, he's here! It flies a storm cloud, yellow and pink.
Thanks!
With the balloons off the ground, I saw a yellow and pink one. There was already one man in the basket with people holding it down. He looked bothered. My timing was untactful, to say the least.
John Viking!
What do you want?
Ask a question or two.
Oh, not now, for God's sake, the race has started. I'm only waiting for that little bitch of a passenger to turn up.
Well, if it's a passenger you want, I'll come. At least I'm here.
How much do you weigh? Yeah, oh, never mind, get in. Right, hold on to your hat.
It was a perfect escape route from two purposeful thugs. Looking down, though, I saw a small boy dart into the empty starting area, shouting and pointing excitedly at John Viking's balloon. I could have strangled the little bleeder.
Do you have to finish first to win a balloon race?
Not this one. This is a 2.5-hour race, and the one that gets the furthest in that time's the winner. Haven't you ever been to a balloon race before?
No.
My God, what chance have I got?
Well, maybe none at all if I hadn't come. Well, I hope your girlfriend understands.
Oh, she probably just defected. She did threaten it.
Oh, where was that?
Thinks I take too many risks.
Yeah, I know the type. I was married to one.
Mm. What's your name?
Sid. Well, where do we expect to come down?
Depends on the wind. Might make it to Brighton, or the Isle of Wight, or France. Can you swim?
Rather not.
Oh, I see. You're missing a hand. How the hell am I going to win this race?
Hey, you won't lose it because of me. I like winning races too.
We're going high, I warn you. Higher than the others and through the airways. They'll have people following them in cars for when they land, which we won't.
No, I hope not.
What do you mean? You with friends?
Sort of.
Well, no car on earth could keep up with us today. They'll have to give up. So, relax and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Might as well.
Good on you, Sid. At last I've got someone up here who isn't puking with fright.
Hey, how high will we be going?
15,000 feet.
Pass me the bucket.
By the way, what do you want me for in the first place?
I came to Higher Lane Park to ask you about this. It's got your name on the flyleaf.
How'd you come to have it?
Could you lend it to anyone?
I don't think so.
Man about 28, dark hair, good looks, easy going, likes girls. Carries a knife strapped to his leg. Oh. Very likely a Oh, you recognise the guy?
Oh, yes. He's my cousin, Norris Abbott.
Norris Abbott. Nicholas Ash, N.A., same initials.
What's he been up to this time?
What's he been up to other times?
A trailer bouncing checks his mother paid for.
Hey, do you happen to know where he lives?
He comes and goes, usually on the cad.
Well, where does his mother live?
I'm his only surviving relative. Oh. Why do you ask all this?
Girl I know wants to find him.
That figures. Time for another burn.
He lost interest in his cousin, and the death-defying, law-defying antics of the balloonist helped to concentrate my own mind wonderfully on questions of survival. At 5:10, he said it was time to go down.
If we don't touch ground by 5:30 exactly, we'll be disqualified. And the name of my game is winning.
How do the judges know we've landed?
This instrument, called a barograph. Proper little sneak. Anyway, hold tight. Geronimo!
We plummeted, or so it seemed, like a dead bird. The town on which we were falling was Eastbourne. I could see the sea, and almost felt it flooding my mechanical hand and ruining its delicate engineering. But we missed the waves by 20 yards and landed on a broad concrete walk at 5:29. Not a thug in sight.
Oh, brilliant, Sid! I could do with you permanently. You've got real guts.
While he lavishly praised my guts, I reflected they were the very guts I was learning myself to hate. But the effects of this pat on the back seemed to make the whole hair-raising adventure worthwhile. I went back to Ainsford by train, leaving my car at Higher Lane Park. Charles picked me up at Oxford Station and I told him about the balloon race and about Norris Abbott. Charles was decidedly shifty, as if there was something he daren't tell me. All was to be revealed.
I don't like you coming here so often.
Jenny, I honestly didn't expect
Discarded husbands should have more pride than to fawn on their father-in-laws.
Fawn?
He only puts up with it because he's sorry for you.
Oh, you're jealous.
dare you? He thinks you're bloody marvellous, but he doesn't know you like I do. All your stubborn little ways and your mannerisms and thinking you're always right.
I'm going to bed.
And you're a coward as well, running away from straight truths. I despise you, Sid. I really do.
Good night, Jenny, my lord. Charles took me to Wiltshire in the morning to pick up my car, and I drove into the city to the offices of Antiques for All. I told the editor a sob story about my poor Jenny and managed to borrow a printout of their mailing list. 53,000 names and addresses. I asked how Norris Abbott could have got hold of it, but the editor didn't know. He didn't even know Abbott. I begged a copy of the magazine as well, went home to the flat and summoned Chico.
Here you are, my son. One mailing list. A lot of legwork there for you, I'm afraid.
What are you going to do?
Oh, I'll be at Chester Races. One of the syndicate horses runs there tomorrow. You meet me back here Thursday morning, 10 o'clock, OK?
Yeah. Suppose our Nicky or Norris hasn't got himself organised yet and sends out begging letters next week after we've drawn a blank.
Ask them to send on the letters here. They will. No one likes being conned.
Oh, it might as well be off then.
Chico, can you stay here till I've repacked my bag?
What for?
Peter Ramillies and a couple of guys came looking for me yesterday at Higher Lane Park. I'd like you around while I'm here.
What sort of guys?
Hard eyes and boots, professionals.
Well, you dodged them, I see.
Yeah, only by thumbing a lift in a balloon.
What?
Yeah, no, it's a story that shouldn't be rushed.
Look, Sid, I don't like these syndicates. Let's tell Lucas Wainwright we're not doing it.
Oh, and who tells Peter Ramillies to back off?
We do. We don't? Suit yourself, then, but I don't like visiting hospitals, I tell you straight.
Hello, stranger.
Oh, hello, Bobby.
Haven't seen your face since Kempton. I didn't see you at the Guineas.
Oh, I didn't go.
You didn't go? After all that interest in Tri-Nitro and all those questions about George and Rosemary Casper.
I couldn't go. That's the top and bottom of it.
Well, if I was in your shoes, I mean, it'd have to be something pretty important to keep me away with all those suspicions about Gleaner and Zingaloo and the so-called art murder.
Yeah, it was.
I reckon you had the smell of something going on there.
Nothing, Bobby.
I don't believe you.
It's true. I don't know anything.
You protest too hard, Sid. But if that's how you want to play it, you'll find at least one gentleman of the press won't be such a sucker for a bottle of bubbly when you want something in the future. Others can clam up. I'll see you.
Afternoon, Rosemary.
Hallie, don't you talk to me. I wonder you got the cheek to show yourself here.
It wasn't my bloody fault.
I've got nothing more to say.
Hello, Sid.
Oh, Lord Frierly.
Oh, Philip.
Philip.
Yeah. Oh, don't let it get to you. Poor Rosemary's been snapping at everyone since that Tri-Nitro business last week.
Oh, I can't blame her, I suppose. She said it would happen. No one believed her, even me.
Galling for you.
Do you know Peter Ramillies?
Never heard of him.
Yeah, he buys and sells horses. Lucas Wainwright thinks he was the one that formed your syndicates and is operating them now.
Oh, dear. Is Lucas looking into them? What do you think I should do, Sid?
Well, if I were you, I'd sell your shares or dissolve the syndicates entirely. Get your name out of them as fast as possible.
All right, I will. The security section is supposed to have checked these and look at them.
Hey, who's riding your horse today?
Larry Server.
Larry Server? He doesn't ride too often for your horse's trainer. Who chooses the jockey?
I don't know. I leave all that to the trainer, of course. Is that the wrong thing to do?
Well, if you like, I'll give you a list of jockeys for your jumpers that you can at least trust to be trying to win.
I wish you were still riding them for me, Sid.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, old chap.
Well, I'd be a whole lot worse if you were glad that I can no longer ride them.
Yeah. Those were the days, eh, Sid?
Yeah, you could say that.
Philip! Sid! Nice to see you.
Sir Thomas, nice to see you too.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, how's it going, Sid? Caught any good crooks lately?
Not lately, I'm afraid.
Did you know, Philip, our Sid here's putting the security section's nose out of joint. I had Eddie Keith in my office on Monday, complaining that we give Sid too free rein. He asked me, as a senior steward and head of the jockey club, to stop him operating on the racecourse.
Eddie Keith?
Don't look so shocked, Sid. I refused him. And you may take it that's the official view of the jockey club as well.
Why does Eddie Keith want me stopped?
Apparently, you saw some of the jockey club files and he resented it. I told him he'd have to live with it, because I was certainly not in any way going to put restraints on what I consider a positive force for good in racing.
No
disclaimer, Sid. It's no more than you deserve. Why don't you both come out to the steward's box for a drink and a sandwich?
Yes, seems a pretty sound idea. Thanks.
Drink, Sid.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Yeah, we are.
And one for Philip.
Zero.
I expect you know most people. Sid, have you met this gentleman, Trevor Deansgate? Careful, Sid, you're spilling your drink. You two look as if you do know each other.
Yes, we have met.
I was just telling Sid how much the Jockey Club appreciates his successes as an investigator. Ah. It seems to have silenced him completely. Excuse me a moment. Come and meet my wife.
With pleasure.
Perhaps I'd better remind you, Hallie, I don't intend to be one of your successes. If you break your assurance, I'll do what I said. Think on.
Sid, old chap, are you feeling all right?
Sorry, what did you say?
You don't look well.
The afternoon went on. In the second race, Larry Server took Philip Friary's syndicate horse to the back of the field and stayed there. After the fifth race, I'd had enough. Outside the gate, I walked to my car, got in and started it. Before I could move off, though, I saw a jockey I knew going past. He'd lost his license through taking bribes from Ramillies.
Jaxie!
Sid! Oh, Sid.
Hey, get in. I'm buying.
Oh. Buying what?
All right, here. Payment in advance.
It's a small fortune. Yeah. What do you want?
I want to know about Peter Ramillies.
Let me get him, please.
Look, Jaxie, just tell me how much he paid you and what for, and anything else you can think of. Come on, Jaxie.
Well, it's more than my life's worth, Sid.
All right, anything.
Well, there's a whisper going round.
Yeah?
That he's brought two pros down from Glasgow for a special job. And anyone who gets in the way just now is liable to be stamped on.
Well, does the grapevine know what the special job is?
No.
Was it anything to do with syndicates?
Well, of course it is, if it's Ramillies. He runs about 20, maybe more.
Is that a fact? All right, what's his rate for doing a Larry Server like today?
How does he get someone like Larry Server onto a horse he wouldn't normally ride? He asks the trainers nicely, with a fistful of dollars.
He bribes the trainers?
Yeah, and you!
Bribes the trainers, did you say?
It doesn't take much sometimes. Don't quote me, but there were races last autumn where Ramillies was behind every horse in the field. He just carved them up as he liked.
That is impossible.
No. All that dry weather we had, remember? With fields of only 4, 5, 6 runners sometimes, the ground was so hard. I know of 3 races for sure where all the runners were his. Poor bloody bookies didn't know what had hit them. Where are we going?
Anywhere you like.
I've got to lift to Chester, but he'll have gone without me by now. Can you take me south, like, and I'll hitch the rest?
Yeah, right, yeah. Jaxie? Come on. Are you going to tell me what Ramillies paid you for a start?
I'm sick of death.
Come on, remembering, of course, what I've paid you.
10 times the regular fee, riding a loser. He buys quite good horses. Horses that can win. Then he syndicates them. Well, I reckon he makes 500% on them.
Oh.
He bought one I know of for 6,000 and sold 10 shares at 3,000 each. He's got 2 pals who are registered owners, and he puts one of them in each syndicate. And they swing it so that some fancy figurehead takes a share. So the whole thing looks right.
Who are the 2 pals? Well, you can trust me, Jaxie.
Alan Grafton and Andrew Howard.
Oh, I know Grafton, yeah. Go on.
Well, the horses get trained by anyone who can turn them out looking nice for double the usual training fee. Then Ramillies works out what races they're going to run in, and they're all running below their real class C, so that when he says go, you're on a flyer. 20 times the riding fee for a winner.
How did you get your license suspended?
My Ben trainer's wife shot me to Thomas Alistair.
Well, how come that no one in the Jockey Club has found out about all these syndicates and done something about Ramillies?
Good question.
Tell me.
I was waiting outside the gates at Kemptonsea when these 2 bookies came out, and one was saying to the other that the bloke in the security service would smooth it over if the price was right. Or something else. One of our lads said I'd never have got suspended if that trainer's wife had shot me to the security service and not to the big white chief, Alistair himself. You don't reckon there could be anyone in the security service that's bent here? I mean, not in the jockey club.
I dropped Jaxie at Watford. I could see now that there were a lot of misdeeds that Eddie Keith might have ignored in return for tax-free gain. He'd passed Phillips 4 syndicates, and he might have done all 20 or more. He might even have put Ramillies' two pals on the respectable owners list, knowing they weren't. Despite the leaden hint he'd dropped when I last met him, I knew I wouldn't rest till I'd somehow found out.
In episode 3 of Whip Hand by Dick Francis, Sid was played by Mick Ford, Chico by Kim Durham, Wainwright, David Neal, Deansgate, Terry Malloy, Unwin, David Van, Rosemary, Patricia Gallimore, Ramillies, Andy Hockley, Mark Ramillies, Philip Malloy, John Viking, James Simmons, Jenny, Petra Markham, Louise, Susan Sheridan, and Ulliston, Jeff Searle. Dramatised by Alan England, Whip Hand was directed at Pebble Mill by Philip Martin.